Good morning. It's good to be here with you guys. It always is good to be here with you guys. Nope, that's the wrong page. There we go. You may note that I have moved my podium out front here rather than back there. So preaching is a craft, right? It's something you can be good at or bad at, right? I mean, I'm certain you've all heard real good preachers and real bad preachers. And so in an effort to improve my craft, I forced myself to watch my sermon last week, which is, it's miserable. It's so hard. It's so hard to watch yourself. It's so hard to watch it. I mean, I'm sure it's the same with singing or whatever. It's just, like, I don't know how actors do it. You know, they do a movie or whatever, and then they go to the premiere and just like, oh, that would be. So anyway, I forced myself to watch my sermon last week, and I felt like I was getting distracted by coming back here. I put it back there because, you know, I felt like then there's nothing between us, right? But I'm going to try, and I figured at least this way, as I pass by, I can get glimpses of what's on my notes. And I'm going to try to move a little bit less, you know, because at one point last week I was all the way over here, and Ethan's foot was sort of in the aisle, and which is fine. It's not a big deal. But then, you know, it breaks my concentration to walk past him. So I'm going to try to move a little bit less. Plus, with that fan on, that's messing with my mic. Anyway, that reminds me of a joke. So I'm trying to improve my craft. That's the whole point of the podium being up here, just in case you care about that at all. That reminds me of a joke. So the board of a particular church met together trying to decide whether or not they were going to give the pastor of that church a raise for that year. And they decided it just couldn't be done this year. And so the head of the board there was like, "We're very sorry, pastor, but we've decided we cannot give you a raise next year. But you must give me a raise," said the pastor. "I am but a poor preacher." "I know," Gene said. "We hear you every Sunday." So, you know, the joke didn't actually have Gene's name in it. I don't know. That just came out. Okay, so we have been talking about salvation for the last, this is now the fourth week. And this is happening significantly different than I thought it was going to happen. I originally set this up as we were going to spend weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks talking about the beauty of our salvation and all of the benefits that come with it. That's what I was going to talk about. Well, I guess the Lord had different plans, because we've spent time talking about what salvation is. We've spent time talking about some of the benefits. We've spent time talking about salvation versus morality, and how your behavior is not what equal your behavior doesn't equal salvation. Last week we talked about giving it away, giving your salvation away. And so, and just the power that is in your testimony. And so, I wanted to start talking about, like, the benefits of salvation, as I had promised 3 weeks ago that we were going to do, and yet the Lord is still not there. We're still not ready to do that. And maybe next week, maybe not. I'm just trying to be obedient to what I feel like the Holy Spirit telling me to do. So if you don't like it, well, then don't come. You should be obedient to the Holy Spirit. All right. So this week we're talking about our salvation, and our walk with the Lord from the time that we get saved until later in life. Like it is a lot of times can be a roller coaster, right? I've had times in my life when I'm so passionate for the Lord. Like when I was in my 20s, and it's easy to be passionate about everything because you have nothing else going on, right? You're not like, you don't have wife and kids or family or whatever to deal with, and you're not buried in jobs and bills and stuff yet. So when it's easy to be really passionate about stuff, I've had times in my life when I was so passionate for the Lord, and I've had times in my life where I wasn't even paying attention to the Lord at all. I was passionate about whatever girlfriend I had at the time or whatever. And so I feel like our walk with the Lord is a lot like, you know, a roller coaster. There's just ups and downs. There's hills and valleys. There's times when you're like, you're on it, and there's times when you're just not. And so I've had definite t- times in my life like that. And so the title of this morning's sermon is, have you fallen asleep in your salvation? Are you in the low part, right? Are you thinking more about girlfriends or jobs or, you know, whatever your thing is, whatever keeps you distracted from the Lord, whatever it is, are you distracted in the Lord right now, or are you waking up in the morning thinking about Him? Right? I sort of wonder, what do you wake up in the morning thinking about? What's the first thing on your mind? Right? A lot of times, for me, it is I wake up with a worship song in my, just sort of, that's sort of what wakes me up is a worship song. And that I feel like that really sets me off for the day. Although we have these little speakers all over our house, and so my wife has been listening to a lot of a band called Need to Breathe, which is a Christian band. But this morning I wake up with one of their songs because it was playing all day long yesterday. And so I think what's going in is what's coming out. The point is, like, what are you waking up thinking about? What's the first thing on your mind when you wake up? Shower and job. I got to get to the shower. I got to get to the job. Do you wake up thinking about, school or kids or problems at home, or what's first on your mind? Because I really feel like that sets you up for the whole day. And if it's not Jesus, then maybe we need to start training ourselves for it to be Jesus. What are we passionate about right now? And maybe you're not passionate about anything right now, which would probably indicate that you're mostly passionate about yourself. I'm sorry, I hate to say it that way, but that's probably true. If you're not like waking up in the morning thinking about something or whatever, then you're probably just waking up thinking about yourself. And that's hard to hear. But man, we don't want to go through all of life with this huge gift that is salvation and then just waste it all thinking about ourselves and just waste it all thinking about our own selfishness and our own problems. We don't want to be those people. We don't want to get to the end of time with standing there before Jesus and all of His glory and awesomeness and then like, so what'd you do with your life? I worried about my lawnmower. I worried about whatever, right? We don't want to. Boy, it's quiet in here. What are you waking up thinking about? What are you passionate about right now? I hope it's Jesus. I really do. I'm praying for you guys that it's Jesus. I hope we haven't fallen asleep on our salvation. Do you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember that moment when you gave your life to Christ? I do. I remember it was like 1987, and it was, I think, August, right? And the preacher had been talking about sheep and goats or whatever. I didn't know what he was talking about. I just knew that at the end it was time for me to do something. And so I'm sitting over here about where Amy Cheeseman would be in our church there. And so I felt like, I mean, I got to do something. Actually, it's Father's Day, so I'll tell this quick story on my dad. I'm standing next to my dad, and I'm like, hey, I think I want to go up front. And then Dad said something that I'll never forget. He looks in and he goes, shut up. And I was like, no, Dad, no. I want to go up front. I want to go up front. And, okay. So I hope he's watching. I hope you're watching. Dad, I love you. I turned out okay. Anyway, and so I went up and I got saved, and I remember being in the parking lot that evening, right, because this was a Sunday night. I remember being in the parking lot that evening, and I remember feeling different, like something has changed inside of me. Something different is happening. Why are people not more excited about this? And then, you know, just like life does, I just sort of lost my way, and I didn't have a ton of like great discipleship, and so I didn't really know what to do with what I was feeling, and so I spent a lot of time just wasting it on thinking about myself, and I didn't really even become like a practicing Christian until I was probably 18, and I was 10 in 1987. Which was a long time ago. But I didn't really start practicing Christianity until I was probably 18 or 19. And that's when I really sort of became passionate. And so, man, I would hate to, at 17 years old, have died and gone to be with the Lord and had wasted all of that salvation on me. So, okay, let's get into it. So there are three people in the Bible I want to talk about this morning. I want to know, you know, I want you to think about maybe who you might be of one of these people. All right, let's find in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. You know, I'm asking, maybe have you fallen asleep on your salvation? But maybe the truth is, you were never awake. Right? Here, this guy, he comes running up to Jesus, and he's like, "Man, Jesus, I want eternal life. I want to live this thing passionately for you. I want to do it. I want to do this thing. I've been following these rules. Lord, I want to do it your way. How do I do it your way?" And Jesus, in the short answer is, Jesus said, "I don't have your heart. Your wallet has got your heart. I want your heart." And so maybe we've been going to church for you, and this is what I talked about last week. Maybe you've been going to church forever. Maybe you've been doing all of the stuff. You've been following the rules. I mean, Jesus hit him with, what? Don't murder, don't adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother. And then the guy lied right there when he said, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." So, I mean, like, we know the guy is a liar. We know that. This guy, there's no way this guy kept this list, because the list wasn't meant to be kept like that. The list was meant to be, you have to have me to be able to do these things. And so Jesus hit him with the rules, and the guy was like, "Yeah, man, I'm doing the rules. I'm checking off those boxes. I'm going to church. I'm being nice to my mom and dad. I'm doing all these things." And Jesus said, "Yeah, but I don't have your heart." So maybe you've been checking off the boxes. Maybe you've been, following the Lord with your behavior, but your heart is still somewhere else. Where is your heart? Is your heart obedient to the Lord? Is your heart following Jesus? Maybe you haven't fallen asleep on your salvation because you were never awake. Maybe you've never given your life to God completely. You know, we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks how salvation is a two-part situation. Believing in Jesus, that's the easy part. Believing in Jesus, we're built to believe in Jesus, right? The second part is making Jesus Lord of your life. And that's the hard part. That's not just one sentence, although I think salvation happens in just one sentence. But it's not just one sentence. It's because discipleship is hard. Yesterday, I got lost in my own sin and my own selfishness. I know you guys, you think pastors are perfect or whatever. You get that sense that whenever, right. We're definitely not. Like, I had a big old hissy fit yesterday. And my feelings got hurt and I got mad. And so I stomped off and I sort of put myself in time out for a couple of hours or whatever. And really, like, it was all just my selfishness. That's what it was. And so what I have to do is, what I had to do yesterday was, I'm a little bit behind in my daily Bible reading. I don't know if you guys are reading the chronological Bible like I said we should last year. You know, I made a big commercial for the chronological Bible. Anyway, I'm reading it through again this year. In fact, maybe 2026, we preach through it that way. I don't know. We'll see. That's a bold move. Anyway, And so what I had to do was I'm a few days behind. I had to go get my Bible and just sort of recenter myself, because I had, my heart was now focused all on me instead of on like Jesus and leading my family. And the point is, like, it's not just your behavior. You know, there'll be guys who make it, you know, on that last day, they'll be standing before the Lord and they'll say, God, we cast out demons in your name. Can you imagine? There's going to be people who cast out demons in the name of Jesus who don't go to heaven. That's crazy. That's some serious religion. That's some serious believing in Jesus, but no heart behind it. Right? Boy, I would hate to live my whole life and cast out demons and follow all these rules and do all this awesome stuff in the name of Jesus and in him never have my heart. So, maybe you were never awake. Maybe you never fallen asleep on Jesus because you were never awake. This morning, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you a chance to wake up. Okay? We're going to wake up. Let's look at somebody else. I forgot my little Bible marker things. Luke 15. All right, here we go. To illustrate a point further, Jesus told the story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So the father, everybody all right? Sound like somebody fell down back there. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons, which, like, this is sort of a side note. What was this guy thinking? Like, I'm sorry. Like, if my kids were like, hey, give me half of what you got now because I don't want to wait until you're dead. Sorry. Like, no. Anyway, a few days later, his younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed his pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, and that's an important sentence here, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have enough to spare, have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired hand. He's practicing his sentence, right? He's got his whole, he's practiced the conversation. You know how you do that when you're in the car alone? You're practicing your whatever you're going to say in whatever situation. So he's practicing. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe, and we'll stop there. So he practices a little sentence, and his dad cut him out. Dad didn't let him finish his little sentence. I think that's cool. So here's this guy, right? He's like, in this sense, he's at home, he's at peace, and he's got everything he needs. He's with his dad, right? And his dad's taking care of everything. I'm sure he had to work for his dad. I'm sure he had to put in some effort. You can find that later on in the story if you want to read it, but I'm sure he had to put in some effort. Right, I'm sure there was some work involved, and just he decided enough was enough. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not chasing this anymore. I'm not following the Lord. I'm not following my dad anymore. I'm gonna go my own way. And so he went his own way, all right. And he wasted all of his money on everything that day had to offer. So in today's, you know, he bought all the iPhones and he bought all the, can you say hookers? He bought all, he spent his life on riotous living. He spent it all of it, on alcohol, drugs, and that sort of thing. And then his world just collapsed. He ran out of money, right? Which was going to happen. The Bible says that a fool and his money are soon parted. And that was going to happen. When he left, that money was on its way out anyway, right? Because he was a fool and he was going to be separated from his money. But anyway, it came collapsing down on him. And finally, he decided it's time to return. And so I wonder, for us, is your world collapsing a little bit? Or maybe it didn't just come to a head all at once where you find yourself all of a sudden in pig slop, which happens. Sometimes your whole world crumbles and you just find yourself just buried in pig slop, right? You've spent your whole life in sin and now it's collapsed around you. But I think a lot of times what happens is it's a little slower process than that. It's one day, you know, you don't read your Bible today, and then the next day it's easier to not read your Bible. Or one day you don't spend that much time in prayer, and so the next day it's easier to not spend much time in prayer. I mean, nobody wakes up and just murders somebody, or nobody just wakes up and cheats on their spouse. No, it happened in your head a long, long time ago. You started giving in to, you know, in the case of adultery, like you started giving in to those thoughts long before action ever took place. You started letting yourself, well, you know, Billy at work, he's so much sweeter than my husband. He knows me so much better. He seems to genuine. And so, no, the adultery started a long time ago. Murder didn't just wake up and murder a guy. No, that hate in your heart started a long time ago, and you just sort of slowly fell asleep to it. You didn't even realize how hateful you were until all of a sudden, now you've pounced on someone. Right? Or you're one of these guys who gets out and attacks somebody in a parking lot or whatever over. I mean, you see this kind of crazy stuff on the internet. The internet's a crazy place. Don't go there. Anyway, we just sort of slowly fall asleep. It's easy one day to, okay, I'm on, you know, it's my birthday. I'm not going to read the Bible today. I'm just going to take it easy today. I'm just going to watch TV today. And so you let Hollywood minister to you that day. And then the next day you're like, oh, well, I got invested in a good show. I'm going to watch that again today instead of reading my Bible. I need to catch up on what's happening on the next episode, because that's how they design these shows, right? They make them good so that you want to watch the next one so they can keep selling you stuff. That's what it's about. And so, and then it becomes easier and easier and easier, and now it's been a month and you haven't read your Bible. It's been a month and you haven't spent any time with the Lord. It's been a month, and the things that were important to you a month ago are no longer important to you, and now slowly your salvation is just sort of, your relationship with God, I'll say it that way, your relationship with God has just sort of slid away, and now you're just out there all by yourself. And the Lord still wants to see you. Let's look at this story. So he returned home to his father with this practice sentence. And he said, Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against both you and heaven. I'm no longer being worthy to be called your son. His father didn't even pay attention to what he was saying. He totally ignored him. He's okay. And then he went on to the servant. Bring me, let's have a party. My son has returned. And so how exciting is that, that the Lord wants us to return like that? The kingdom of heaven is exciting in that way. Matthew 13, look at this, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. So the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure. So you're walking out around in this field and you find this, you find oil bubbling up out of the ground like Beverly Hillbillies, that's what it is. So now you go home and you sell your house and you sell everything so that you can buy this field so you can get that oil, right? So you can be Jed Clampett, right? That's the excitement behind the scripture verse here. That's how our life should be, constantly selling everything, constantly getting it away. And you know that his family thought he was crazy when he came home and he was like, okay, guys, we're selling everything. Well, what about my bike? Yep, your bike's got to go. Well, what about my car? Yep, your car's got to go. Everything's got to go. You know the family thought he was crazy for selling all this stuff. And if he was wise, he didn't tell anybody why, including his family. But that's what our salvation is meant to be like, constantly selling everything, to be back in front of Jesus. I think that's what our salvation is meant to be like, constantly selling everything. Even my own selfishness, especially your own selfishness. What about my anxieties? The Lord doesn't worry for stuff like the way I worry for stuff. Yes, that's the point. Yes, give that stuff away. What about my job? What about my this or that? Yes, sell it all and give it to the Lord. It is. If you have fallen asleep, it is time to wake up. It's time to sell it all. It's time to wake up. Or maybe in this room, you're like Peter. Peter is nuts, that guy. John chapter 21. So Jesus had died, and he had appeared to the disciples a couple of times. Let's look at this. John chapter 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. So there were eight of them together. I think I counted that right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep. Nope, I counted 7. All right. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. So Jesus had died, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. So they were just like, so what do we do now? And Peter was like, well, I guess I'll go fishing. Okay, we'll go too. And so a bunch of them went fishing too. We'll come too, they said. So they all went out on the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who it was. And he called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord! Right? Exclamation point on that. He shouted it. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, which seems weird to me to put on a jacket before you jump into water, and then he jumped into water and headed to shore. So are you Peter this morning? Has somebody announced to you that Jesus is nearby and you jump out of the boat and swim to shore? I hope so. I hope that's who you are. I hope you're jumping out of the boat and headed to shore. Because he's got all the good stuff. There's nothing else good outside of him. Well, you should see this car I'm trying to buy. It's not gonna satisfy. But I've got a big old stack of money. Good for you. It's not going to satisfy. But I've got this coming down. I've got this pretty lady who loves me, and I'm going to treat her like a princess. That's awesome. It's not going to satisfy. If you're not chasing Jesus with reckless abandon in such a way that you would jump out of a boat and swim to shore, the Bible tells us it was about 100 yards from shore. That's a long way to swim. And my current physical condition, I don't know that I would have made it. That's neither here nor there. The point is, you don't have to swim physically, because now Jesus is gone, right? He's not here physically. You can't go touch him. You can't swim to him the way that you could before. Now it's all faith-based. It's all Jesus is invisible. He's in your heart, right? So you can't swim to him in the same way, but your heart can swim to him. You don't have to be physically fit enough to swim 100 yards. Your heart can swim to him. And that's what I want. That's what I want for you guys. That's what I want for myself. I want to not have days like yesterday. I want to not have moments like yesterday where I pay so much attention to my own emotions, my own physical crap, that I'm not focused on the Lord. I want to be passionate for him always. I want to give every part of who I am away to him, and I want you to be that way too. That's what I'm praying. You know, I mentioned that I'm praying for you guys through the database thing. Man, I'm praying that you guys wake up in the morning thinking about him. That when you get to work, it's not just another day of 8 to 5 or whatever, but it's a moment to tell somebody else about Jesus. It's a moment to get into somebody else's face about Jesus. That's what I want for you. I want for you to not just see the girl at Walmart checking out your groceries or whatever. It's to smile and share Jesus with her, right? You have your testimony. Give your testimony away. That's what I want. That's what I want for our church. That's what I want for us, is to be passionate for Jesus in such a way that it explodes out of every part of who we are, and there's no denying it to people who are around us. And so this morning, Rebecca, let's do it. So this morning, what we're gonna do is we're just gonna take a moment to sing and pray a little bit. Cause he's good. He's good. And so, like, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, right? Like, you're the rich young ruler. You got to the point of salvation. You got to the point to where, you know, it was like, this is what you have to do to give your life to Jesus. And then you got there and you're like, you walked away sad. Then today's your day to not walk away sad anymore. Today is the day for you to get what you've been hoping for, eternal life with Jesus. Today is your day. If that's you, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, if you're in this room and you do know Jesus and you've fallen asleep a little bit, then today is your day to wake up. Yeah. Let's wake up for the Lord. And let's let that passion roll out of every part of us. And so we're going to sing a song here, and I'm going to be up here. If you want to come pray with me, then that's fantastic. I'm happy to pray with you. If you don't, then that's okay too. You come up and lay down before the altar, however you want to do it. I don't care. I just hope you do it. If you stay in your seat and pray, that's fine too. I think there's something about putting your physical body, you know, moving your physical body, like Peter jumping out of that boat. Man, I think it's time to jump out. I think it's time to jump out of that boat and give it all away. Because the pieces of yourself that you're holding back, you're going to regret that someday. Stop holding those pieces back. Give them away. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. God, I pray for those of us who are in this room, God, that today we give ourselves away. God, we stop holding pieces back. God, we stop holding our junk and our sin. Stop holding it away, trying to hide it from you. God, it's exposed before you anyway. God, let us this morning lay that all out before you. And say, Father, I give it all to you. For those in this room who don't know you today, God, I pray that you would draw their heart in such a way that they cannot say no to you, Father. They are just drawn out of their seat to come and say, to come and greet you, to come and meet you, Father. You're so good to us, Lord. We worship you and we praise you this morning. We pray for this altar call in Jesus' name. You guys can stand.
To thee, how great thou art.
praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, Father. You are the hero of this story, and there are no human heroes. All of the other heroes are you, Father. You, everybody else, God, is doing your thing, Father. God, help us to be in love with you. Help us to be surrendered to you. God, help us to, my God, how great thou art every single day of our life. Help us to give everything to you, to sell away everything for you, God. You alone are worthy of our time and our effort. God, you're awesome. We worship you in Jesus' name.